Oceania. Lands, 30. Population, 39,384,408. Publishers, 101,483. Bible studies, 62,367. Managing a speech disorder. Hamish, a 23-year-old brother who lives in Australia, has a severe speech disorder that causes his words to be jumbled or unintelligible or not to come out at all. This disability, however, has not diminished his zeal for public speaking or for the field ministry. For example, to deliver a talk at the Kingdom Hall, Hamish first types his manuscript into a portable electronic device that converts written text into audible speech. When delivering his talk, he places the device on the speaker's stand and operates the keyboard to select and replay blocks of speech. The synthesized speech is picked up by a microphone and amplified through the sound system. When his part calls for audience participation, he acknowledges the comments by typing into the device. In the field service, he communicates in much the same way, using a mixture of prepared sentences, scripture quotations, and fast typing. As a result, he has many fine return visits. Since 2007, when Hamish was appointed as a ministerial servant, he has served as an auxiliary pioneer several times each year. Problems with her printer. In New Caledonia, David, a computer repairman, got a phone call from a woman who had trouble with her printer. A document could not be printed. David swiftly fixed the problem, but he was surprised when he saw that the printed document read, "Do not call. Jesus is in our home. We do not need any other religion." David said to the householder, "Excuse me, but as I was repairing your printer, I read the message on the document. May I ask you why you wrote it?" She answered, "Oh, you know that Jehovah's Witnesses come every weekend. We are tired of seeing them in this area. I tell you, none of them will get across our doorstep." David asked, "Do you know that you have already invited one of them into your house?" She replied, "Impossible! That will never happen." David said, "I am one of Jehovah's Witnesses, and you invited me in?" The woman was amazed and a little ashamed. David kindly explained why Jehovah's Witnesses call on people at their homes. A 2-hour discussion followed. A few days later, David revisited this woman and her husband. They explained that after pondering over what had happened, they were sure that God had led David to them. Hence, they could not refuse his visit. They now regularly accept our magazines. Equipped with tracts. Nathan, age 12, lives in Australia. He carries Bible-based tracts in his school bag and regularly witnesses to his friends at school. One day, while walking home from school, he saw an elderly lady standing in the front yard of her home. The lady smiled, so Nathan smiled back and gave her one of his tracts. The lady then told him that her husband had died 3 years earlier. At this, Nathan reached into his bag and pulled out the tract, "What Hope for Dead Loved Ones." The lady's eyes brimmed with tears as Nathan told her about the coming resurrection, when she could see her husband again in paradise. "But when will all suffering end?" asked the lady. Nathan reached for another tract, "All suffering soon to end." The lady then asked Nathan what else he believed. So he gave her yet another tract from his bag, "What Do Jehovah's Witnesses Believe?" After that, Nathan left. Weeks later, he saw the lady again in her front yard. She called him over and gave him a hug. "Guess what, Nathan?" she said. "After you gave me those tracts, two witness ladies called on me, and now I am studying the Bible with them." They had only one memorial invitation. Michael helped in the construction of the new branch complex in the Solomon Islands. After that, he decided to preach to people on Mbanika Island, an isolated island where he had lived as a child and where his fleshly brothers lived. There were no witnesses on the island. There is also no regular ship to the island, no postal service, and only one available telephone. He traveled to Mbanika Island with Hansley, a young pioneer. On their arrival, they immediately began to build a small palm leaf kingdom hall and to invite people to attend the memorial of Christ's death. Since they had only one printed invitation, the two brothers just showed it to people and explained the importance of the memorial. A day before the occasion, the brothers paddled 2 hours to the other side of the island to extend an invitation to a family who lived there. However, they found only the children at home. Michael decided to leave them the only copy of the invitation that he had. He gave it to the older daughter and asked her to give it to her father. The next afternoon, as Michael and Hansley were preparing for the memorial, they saw the family coming in a canoe. The father had read the invitation and concluded that the memorial must be a very important event, so he brought everyone in his family. That evening, 52 attended the memorial. Michael and Hansley continue to preach and to study the Bible with those who attended.